Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is again our beloved Bishop, Bishop Robert Brennan. Bishop, welcome.
Thank you, Father Adam. It's good to be with you today.
One of the important emphases that you make is our outreach to our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. So I thought we could talk a little bit about that, but let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord God, you have called us to serve our brothers and sisters and to bring the truth of Christ to all. We ask, O Lord, that you strengthen our commitment to this. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, Bishop, literally from really your beginning here in Columbus, you have been emphasizing the importance of our outreach to our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. Even speaking in Spanish with your fluency, I can't judge the quality of your Spanish, but I imagine it's very good. But how were you introduced to this portion of the church, the Spanish-speaking portion of the church in your own priesthood?
That's a very good question. It was actually rather later in my life, and really just by getting to know one of the parish populations. So I had already been at the cathedral in St. Agnes for a number of years. I just got to know some of the people at the Spanish Mass. And, you know, it's funny. It was a Saturday evening Mass, and it almost seemed to have a life of its own. We used to tease, in fact, the priest who served there, that he was running sort of a whole church. Do you have any ordinations tonight? And I went over, I guess, for a couple of devotions, a couple of times for Holy Hour, and just prayed with them. I didn't speak Spanish. I just prayed with them. I'd get to know some of the people. And little by little, I was drawn in, and it was actually an accident that got me involved. The priest, who just this year turned 90, so this is about 10, 15 years ago, he actually fell doing a wedding rehearsal and did damage to his shoulder, so his arm was in a sling and immobile. And so I would go over and concelebrate Mass with him. I would say, you be the voice, I'll be the hands. I didn't know a word of Spanish at the time. And it was by doing that experience that I grew in love with the parishioners who loved me. I mean, they just expressed such tremendous joy and love. And that's what drew me in, and that's what gave me that desire really to want to learn the language. So it's always been through a relationship. And that just grew over the years as I went to different places, as I got involved with more other parishes. I think there were two elements to the outreach that you speak of. One is that relationship of love with our brothers and sisters. When you get to know people, you're just drawn into their lives and into their world. But the other side of it is the gospel itself. And we realize that we have something in the gospel that is too important to be held in, even by the incapacity to speak a language. That the gospel is so important that we all, every one of us, has to go through whatever hurdles it takes to get that message out there. And so in this case, it was an opportunity for me. I mean, we all look at other hurdles, too. We try to overcome the hurdles to meet people with that really important good news of the gospel.
So your emphasis on outreach to Spanish speakers is really, it's part and parcel of your emphasis on evangelization.
It most certainly is. It most certainly is, because that's, that's the key. It's that the gospel is too important to be held in. But again, evangelization is an act of love, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you fall in love with a group of people, when you fall in love with somebody, what you want to do is share the most important things. Evangelization, sharing that good news, is an act of love.
Now, certainly maybe in your own experience and maybe for the larger church, your relationships with Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters has contributed something.
Yes, exactly. And that's the other side of this. Thank you for going there. You know, I grew up in an age way back in the 70s and the 80s. I tease Father Adam about about my age. But I grew up when a lot of popular devotions were sort of dampened down. And I had some of those myself, a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. I happened to work in the parish of Our Lady Perpetual Help, and I remember the Monday night novenas. I used to work those nights, but I developed a relationship there. But coming to be part of that community, the Spanish-speaking community, they never lost that sense of the popular devotions. And Pope Francis makes this point a lot, that devotion to the Blessed Mother, the national devotions to Mary under very different titles or to certain moments in the Gospel, and to the practice of the Rosary and some of the basic devotions are so central. And I relearned that, and that kindled something new inside of me. Yes.
Excellent. And, you know, if you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. And with me today is Bishop Brennan, our bishop here in the Diocese of Columbus. You know, and I've heard from a lot of priests who work with Spanish-speaking brothers, our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, that sort of devotion. You know, I think one of the things that I'm really impressed by is their emphasis on the sacrament of confession as well, and
indeed, and a real love and reverence for the Lord in the Eucharist. I mean, people take very seriously that kind of preparation before going to Holy Communion. There's also people have renewed in me that sense of appreciation for the family, and also a tremendous faith that sometimes has to overcome all kinds of hurdles and obstacles, but also great demonstration of love and affection. I mean, the community is just so so alive. Back in the day, so we were dealing with social distancing. One priest said to me, "Oh, they don't believe in social distancing."
and their presence really is a renewal in the church.
That's right.
And I would imagine, I'm not a detailed historian of American Catholic history, but every wave of immigration in the United States has contributed something to the church and renewed it and revitalized it. And I think certainly in our own age, the presence of all of these immigrants from the Spanish-speaking countries is really renewing the church.
That's very, very true. And we see it. We see it in the numbers of people. We see it in the numbers of family. I say, sometimes people say, "Oh, where are all the young people at Mass? Why is everybody here with gray hair? Why don't we have families with children?" I say, "Come to the Spanish Mass, and you'll see families and you'll see children." So yes, it and you're right. Every ethnic wave of immigration has brought something to the church, and we see some of the effects of that right here in Central Ohio. Certainly, German immigration that brought us the Josephinum and so many other gifts here. So yes, indeed.
We mentioned earlier that there is a connection. I mean, that really our outreach and our zeal for our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters is a part of this larger emphasis on evangelization. Down the road, we're going to talk about the Holy Father's great document, The Joy of the Gospel, which borrows a lot from a document which it seems that Pope Francis had a good bit of role in writing.
Yes, the Aparecida document, and this would have been the General Conference of the Bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean. There would be periodic meetings. Medellin was another important gathering. But at Aparecida, you can see a lot of the framework of Pope Francis's The Joy of the Gospel, and that is really the common thought that as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, his hand was very involved in the
composition. And that document's also been very influential in a process that's been going on here in the United States, the
Encuentro. That's right, the fifth Encuentro, Quinto Encuentro. And basically, it really had a lot to do with inside the Hispanic community, but it was really intended to be a movement of the church, of the whole church. And so the materials are really available also in English, and there's that encouragement for parishes and dioceses to use a similar process that they used in the Encuentro. And the Encuentro started at the parish level and just essentially person-to-person invitation. That's and then it went up through diocesan, regional, then the national encuentro. The idea was to continue, which we have, but go back down from into the diocese. And so we had a gathering in the fall, but bring it back to the parish level. So these things can be – this is a renewal not only of the Hispanic community, but really a renewal of the church.
Beautiful. Is there any passage in particular from the Aparecida document that strikes you?
Well, there are a number, but one thing I laugh, we're called to be heralds of good news, heralds of joy, not prophets of doom. But there is one that I think really captures what evangelization is all about. And I think it's an important one. Bear with me because it's a little bit on the long side. Here lies the fundamental challenge that we face, to show the church's capacity to promote and form disciples and missionaries who respond to the calling received and to communicate everywhere and in outpouring of gratitude and joy the gift of the encounter with Jesus Christ. That's really what it's all about. He says, we have no other treasure but that, no other happiness, no other priority, but to be instruments of the Spirit of God as the church, so that Jesus Christ may be known, followed, loved, adored, and communicated to all, despite difficulties and resistance. This is the best service, his service, that the church has to offer its people and nations. It's a reminder of what really counts in the end.
Beautiful. And this has been Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today was Bishop Brennan. Until next time, peace and all good.